julas tilbud hos Spar. Julefeiringen nærmer seg med stormskritt, og nå får du hele 40% rabatt på et stort utvalg Evergood kaffe. I tillegg får du også fersk krydder av tynnribber fra Folkets, før 149, nå kun 99 kroner per kilo. Alt I tilbud på noe godt. Hilsen oss I Spar.
Hello, my name is Dr. Campbell McBride, and I use food as medicine.
Hei dere, velkommen til oss. Vi Biohacking Girls, din podcast for optimal helse.
Vi to jenter bak rattet, dette Monica.
Og dette Alette. Vi biohacking-kollegaer og legger sammen våre erfaringer og kunnskap for å inspirere deg til å ta fatt på biohacking for å optimalisere helsen din.
Vi følger med og setter forstørrelsesglass på trender og siste forskning og snakker med verdens toppeksperter innen trening, life coaching, helse og biohacking.
Du klar for å starte med konkrete hacks, lytte til din egen kropp og ta fatt på din helsemessige reise sammen med oss?
Vi ønsker naturlig tilnærming til helsen vår, og vi snakker til både menn og kvinner.
Du kan gjerne gi tilbakemeldinger til oss under podcasten her og slå gjerne til med en god stjerne.
Du finner oss også på Instagram og Facebook. Du klar? Velkommen! All disease begins in the gut. Dette sa Hippokrates, the father of medicine, og det altså over 2000 år siden.
Ja, og det vel I grunnen like aktuelt I dag. Vi har med oss en skikkelig spennende gjest, Dr. Natasha Campbell McBride. Hun hjernen bak og grunnleggeren av GAPS-dieten. Dette står for Gut and Psychology Syndrome. Dr. Natasha en kjent lege, dietist og forfatter.
Ja, hennes arbeid har virkelig forandret hvordan vi tenker når det kommer til forbindelsen mellom tarmhelse og helsen vår generelt. For dieten hennes et globalt konsept som brukes av mange som vil forbedre autoimmune sykdommer, autisme, ADHD og flere. Og hennes egen reise startet da hun reverserte sin sønns autisme med kosthold og livsstilsendringer.
Det lenge siden vi leste boken hennes første gang, eller kanskje vi kan kalle det en bibel, for det en lang og detaljert og virkelig et medisinsk oppslagsverk, vil nå vi si. Det en bok vi stadig går tilbake til når det noe vi lurer på I forbindelse med forskjellige typer sykdommer, og det også en bok som det klør I fingrene våre for å gi videre til andre vi ser kun at glede av denne kunnskapen.
Og I episoden I dag så skal vi ta et dypt dykk med Dr. Natasha når det kommer til prinsippene I GAPS-dieten, altså G-A-P-S. Dette innovative tanker når det kommer til gut-brain-forbindelsen, når det kommer til å forbedre forskjellige helsetilstander fra autisme og ADHD til autoimmune sykdommer.
Og dere, Dr. Natasha, hun kommer faktisk på Naturmedisins fagkongress til høsten, det 18. og 19. oktober. Det blir ganske rått. Vi gleder oss til å høre og møte denne damen live.
Og ikke bare det, men følg med helt til slutt, for vi deler en eksklusiv rabatt til alle lytterne våre. Hvis du har lyst til å delta på dette eventet på Naturmedisinsk fagkongress, så følg med. Så skal vi dele litt om Natashas faglige bakgrunn.
Hun lege med videreutdanning I neurologi og ernæring. Hun har sin klinikk I Cambridge, hvor hun jobber spesifikt med ernæring for både barn og voksne som har adferd og lærevansker, men også de med fordøyelses- og immunforstyrrelser. Hun har skrevet flere bøker og en ettertraktet foredragsholder over hele verden, og nå kommer hun altså også til Norge. Velkommen til Biohacking Girls podcast. Welcome, Dr. Natasha Campbell McBride. We have been looking forward to this conversation for a long time now. We have been following you. We have read your Bible of a nice book several times over the years. And we are looking forward to sharing your knowledge and everything with our community here in Norway.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm delighted to be here.
And let's start a little bit about your background and your inspiration, your personal story that led you to develop the GAPS diet.
I'm a medical doctor, neurologist by training. My first child was diagnosed with autism at the age of 3, and that threw me into a very deep learning curve. I had to help my child. So the result of that was the development of the GAPS nutritional protocol. My child has recovered fully and is leading a normal life. He's in his 30s now, so that was a long time ago. And since then, in 2004, I've written my first GAPS book, The Yellow Book, Gut and Psychology Syndrome, which focuses on the function of the brain, which focused on the learning disabilities in children, autism, ADHD, dyslexia, dyspraxia, schizophrenia, oppositional defiant disorder, and other difficulties in development of a child, and on psychiatric disorders in adults and children. Then in 2020, I've written the second part of the GAPS nutritional protocol, and that's the blue book, which you have shown on the screen, which is called Gut and Physiology Syndrome. Both gut and psychology and gut and physiology syndrome abbreviate to the same GAPS in the English language, GAPS nutritional protocol. The protocol is the same in both books, and it's basically designed to normalize the human microbiome, the microbial community living in the digestive system of the person and everywhere else in the human body, and through that to heal the person from any chronic illness, mental or physical.
We need to go back to your son and see. He was 3 years old. How did you find out that he had autism? And when did you start doing strategies to help him? And when did he recover? How many years did it take?
He was very severely autistic. So I'm sure that people in Norway have seen autistic children.
Oh,
because
yes.
Because autism is our modern epidemic. When my son was ill, literally a few years before then, the whole of humanity was diagnosing one child in 10,000. That disorder was very, very rare at that point. Now, in America, in some states, we are diagnosing one child in 15. In some areas, it's even more. So it is a real modern epidemic. In every country of the world, autism now is known by lay public, not even by professionals. Where 30 years ago, professionals have never seen an autistic individual. It was so rare. Today, it is very, very common. It is a typical modern epidemic. And my son was very, very severe. He could not speak. He did not understand language. He did not know how to behave. He had no sense of danger. He had severe eating problems. So it was a full bouquet. And through changing his diet, through teaching him appropriately, using applied behavior analysis, which I describe in the yellow book. Through all of these approaches, he has recovered fully. The bulk of recovery happened in the first 2 years, but then the last few percent of recovery took us a few more years to clear. And as that was happening, I was working with many other children, communicating with many other families with autistic children who also started using the same protocol. Because when my son was diagnosed, we didn't have internet. I'm sure modern people can't even imagine such a thing. We had no internet. We only had the phone. We had books. We had local libraries. That's all we had. So the whole community of families with autistic children at that point, we were all helping each other. We were all talking. We were all sharing any information we could find. So as soon as I found my approach, I started sharing it with other families. That's how my clinic has appeared. That's how I started working with autistic children first. Then I started working with hyperactive children, children with attention deficit disorder, dyslexic children, dyspraxic children, children with other abnormalities in mental and physical development. And as I discovered that these children are also physically unwell, they have allergies. They have digestive problems. They have asthma, eczema. Some have diabetes type 1. Some have epilepsy. Some have juvenile arthritis and all sorts of other physical problems. I've realized that all of those diseases, the whole bouquet of symptoms in the child, stem from the same place, from the digestive system of the child. Human body is a microbial community. That is a fact now, fully confirmed by the modern scientific research. In those days, when I started talking about it at the beginning of 2000s, that was an unusual idea, and majority of the medical community could not even look in that direction. Now this is an absolute fact, absolutely proven by research. that human body is a microbial community. There is nothing microbe-free in your body. You have microbes in your blood, in your heart, in your lungs, in your joints, in your muscles, in your bones, in your brain, in your liver, in your abdominal cavity. Everywhere there are microbes. There are more microbes in your body than there are human cells. In fact, human body is a microbial community. The heart, the center of that microbial community, is in the digestive system. Because if you ask any microbiologist what is the most powerful influence on a human health, on the health of any microbial community and human health, they will tell you it's food. You take any microbial community in a petri dish or in nature and change their food supply. Everything will change instantly, literally within hours. Certain species of microbes will disappear, other microbes will appear out of nowhere, and the whole microbial community will change. Food has the most powerful effect on any microbial community in nature. Because your body is a microbial community, food is the most powerful influence on your health. There is nothing more powerful that can come even close to the effect of food on your health. So, the reason for that is, why does the body have the majority of its microbes, the headquarters of the whole microbial community, in the digestive system? Because that's where you put your food. That's where the food goes. That is why all the commanding echelons of your microbial community, your government, your generals, your admirals, your officers, are all in the digestive system, because that's where food goes. And that gives us a great power, because by changing the food supply, by changing the diet, we can change the whole microbial community.
So a little bit back to your son again and the autism. So why do you think he developed autism in the first place then, when he was so young?
Because children acquire their microbial community, their microbiome. This whole microbial community in your body is called a microbiome, human microbiome. Children acquire their microbiome from the parents, from the mother and the father. The mother starts populating the baby during pregnancy, when the baby is developing inside the uterus of the mother during 9 months of pregnancy. Maternal microbiome, the microbiome of her placenta and her womb populate the baby. The baby swallows liquids inside the womb, and that populates the digestive system. The father has his own microbial community, the center of which is in the digestive system. That microbial community populates the groin of the father, and he shares that flora with the mother on a regular basis. That's how the father contributes his microbiome to the mother's microbiome, and then the mother passes it to the child. So the mother starts passing the microbiome during pregnancy, but the bulk of the microbial community comes to the baby during delivery, when the baby goes through the birth canal of the mother. The vagina of the mother is heavily populated by a microbial community, and it comes from two places, from her own digestive system and from the digestive system of the father, because he shares his microbiome with the mother on a regular basis through contact. So that's how both parents contribute their microbial community to the baby, to the child. We live in a world where progressively through generations, human microbiome is becoming more and more damaged because of the environment we have created, because the environment humanity has created. Before the Second World War, the whole planet was organic. Just think about that. There was just food. There was no other food. There was no organic food, no other food. There was just food because the whole planet was organic. There were no vaccinations, there were no antibiotics, there were no pesticides, there were no other agricultural chemicals to speak of. There were some, but not many at that point. As a result, people who were born at that time, before the Second World War, received an unspoiled, pristine human microbiome from their parents. People who were born before the Second World War until the end of the Second World War received pristine, clean, unspoiled microbiome from their parents. And your microbiome is your constitution. It is the most important part of you. That is why those people are still living into their 80s and 90s in fairly good health, obviously propped by hip replacements, by dentistry, by modern achievements of modern medicine. That also helps these people. But their constitution, the wonderful, healthy constitution that they acquired at birth from their parents, that's what's carrying them through. That is why they're living so long, these people. On top of that, there were no vaccinations. These children, these people went through all the childhood infections at the time. Childhood infections are essential for a child to go through because the child is born with an immune system that needs education. And through these infections, the world that the child lives in presents the child with various infections and various facts and information about this world. As a result, the immune system of the child gets proper education. Children who went through childhood infections and have never been vaccinated are the healthiest children in the world, and they virtually never have allergies or autoimmune illnesses or cancer because their immune systems were properly educated. They know how to deal with this environment. Generations of people that followed after the Second World War don't have such a good constitution because antibiotics were invented. They were discovered during the Second World War, and then they came onto the market in mass amounts in the 50s and the 60s. So generations of people who were conceived and were born in 50s, 60s, and further grew up with antibiotics. Every year, at least once a year, every child is subjected to a course of antibiotics for a cold, or a flu, or a runny nose, or something or other, some kind of common infection. Vaccinations were introduced, which do not allow the child to develop normal constitution and to adjust properly to the environment. Antibiotics wipe out the beneficial bacteria in the digestive system and everywhere else in the body too. Any microbial community in the world only exists if there is balance, if there is harmony between all the microbial species in that community. In every microbial community, there should be everything present. All these viruses and bacteria and protozoa and archaea and bigger creatures, they all should be there. They all play their role. And only when there is balance and harmony between them, only then the microbial community can be sustained. It can live for a long time. And it can be beneficial and good for us. It gives us good health and vitality if it is balanced and harmonious. Every time you take an antibiotic, you kill part of that microbial community. So the balance is gone. The harmony is gone. As a result, the microbial community becomes disharmonious. It becomes dysfunctional. Certain species of microbes proliferate in there. For example, fungi usually proliferate, viruses proliferate, other things proliferate. And a healthy, life-giving microbial community turns into your worst enemy in the world. Unfortunately, today, people are taking antibiotics not only from the doctors, but they're eating antibiotics for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and in between. Because majority of agricultural chemicals that are used on our food and majority of chemicals that food industry then uses to process our food are antibiotics in their nature. The most commonly used antibiotic is called glyphosate, which is used by the agriculture. That's been introduced in the 1990s. It's a broad spectrum antibiotic, extremely poisonous. We now have a lot of research to show that it causes every disease under the sun, practically every chronic disease. Glyphosate is used on our crops, on all crops that we grow in the Western world several times during the growing season. Worst of all, it is used right at the end before harvesting because it is used to dry up the crop. It's easier to harvest a crop that has been desiccated, dried up. So it is used on wheat, on barley, on oats, on soy, on sugar beet, on sugarcane, on rapeseed, on practically all the crops are desiccated with glyphosate just before harvesting. So the grain that they make your bread from, make your flour from, and everything that they make from flour is full of glyphosate. There are large amounts of glyphosate in every bite of bread, breakfast cereals, buns, sandwiches, cakes, biscuits, cookies, pasta, everything you eat that is made out of flour. Sugar is full of glyphosate. Vegetable oils are full of glyphosate. And these are the three things that all processed foods are made from. Soy is full of glyphosate. And this is just one chemical. There are many other chemicals that our agriculture uses. So with every generation, starting from the Second World War, the end of Second World War, people are using increasing amounts of antibiotics in the form of agricultural chemicals, increasing amounts of vaccinations, which undermine the basic physiology and the basic constitution of the child or the adult, and increasing amounts of pharmaceuticals and many other environmental insults that human beings are subjected to nowadays. As a result, through generations, the microbiome in people is getting more and more damaged. So children who were born, let's say, in the 60s, their parents were born before the Second World War. So their parents maybe used one course of antibiotics or two before they had this child. So they would pass practically good microbiome, but slightly damaged to their children. And then those children grew up in an environment where they were having antibiotics every year for cold, for every cough and sneeze, plus vaccinations, plus food laden with agricultural chemicals increasingly. So by the time that generation of children has grown up and is ready to have their own children, their microbiome is far more damaged than the microbiome of their parents was. And with every, and that's what they're passing to their children. So their children start their life from acquiring a very poor constitution compared to what they got from their parents 20, 30 years ago. And with every generation, the situation is getting worse and worse and worse. This is an absolute avalanche coming upon humanity. This is the epidemic of gaps. Gaps is a global phenomenon. It is something that practically every human being on our planet is now affected by because of our technocratic society. And practically everybody has a damaged microbiome. And that is the basis, the real diagnosis of every chronic disease. That is the basis and the cause of our epidemic in autism, epidemic in diabetes type 1, epidemic in allergies, autoimmune illnesses, cancer, heart disease, obesity, diabetes, mental illnesses, every illness in the world. Because, I'm coming back to this, human body is a microbial community. If you damage that microbial community, and if your parents give you a damaged microbial community right from the start of your life, then you simply cannot be healthy. So that's how children are becoming autistic. And that's how my child got autistic, and every other child became autistic. This is the cause of autism. This is the cause of hyperactivity disorder, attention deficit disorder, dyslexia, dyspraxia, schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, anorexia, epilepsy, all autoimmune illnesses, arthritis, digestive problems, allergies, chronic cystitis, multiple sclerosis, neurological illnesses, hormonal illnesses, every chronic disease. And that is what GAPS describes in my two books, the yellow book and the blue book. Again, the yellow focuses on the brain, the blue focuses on the rest of the body. So they go together, these two books. They don't replace each other. They are together because one covers the brain, the other one covers the rest of the body. And the GAPS nutritional protocol described in these books heals the very basis of human body, of human anatomy and physiology, the very basis of human health. This is the foundation that you build your healing on and you build your health on, the GAPS nutritional protocol.
Beautifully explained, Dr. Natasha, but I just have a question because today it's this, all these diseases are rampant. They're all over. So is still the GAPS diet enough? How can you treat all these people today? Is the GAPS diet going to be enough, or do we need other interventions today?
And also, if you can explain what the letters GAPS stands for, so all of our listeners can understand the gut and the physiology.
GAPS is abbreviation, gut and psychology or physiology syndrome. GAPS. It's in the English language. That's what it is, because it's very long to pronounce gut and psychology syndrome or gut and physiology. So it's my patients who abbreviated and started calling it GAPS. GAPS protocol and GAPS diet. So that's what it is. Before you build a house and your health is built like a house, you have to build a foundation first, a strong, solid foundation. GAPS Nutritional Protocol builds that foundation very solidly, very strong. And for many people, it actually builds the house too. But for some people, other things have to be added. After you've built the foundation, always start with GAPS. Start from the GAPS diet, GAPS Nutritional Protocol. Rebuild your microbiome. Because remember again, your body is a microbial community. Your microbial community, if you have any chronic illness, your microbial community is out of balance, disharmonious, damaged. You cannot heal yourself from any illness without rebuilding that microbiome from the start, from the scratch. That is what the GAPS Nutritional Protocol will do for you. It will rebuild your microbiome and it will rebuild your body, because human body is renewing itself all the time. Every cell in your body only lives a short life. It works very hard, it gets old, it dies, and new baby cells are born to replace all these dying cells. Every tissue in your body, every organ is renewing itself all the time. That's the human body perpetuates itself, heals itself, and regenerates itself. In order to give birth to trillions of new baby cells every day, building materials are required. Where do they come from, these building materials? From food. People eat the Western diet nowadays, the standard American diet or standard European or any other, practically very similar, this diet all over the world. So they try to build their bodies, build these new baby cells out of poor quality materials, contaminated by agricultural chemicals, more chemicals added by the food industry, and grown on exhausted soils, poor in nutrients, poor in minerals, poor in... And on top of that, the mainstream propaganda about nutrition, what you should eat and what you shouldn't eat and what's good for you and what's not good for you, is all upside down, completely and utterly upside down. As a result, people are eating poor quality materials for their bodies. So their bodies are made out of poor quality materials. As a result, the body's sick. It doesn't function very well. GAPS diet, GAPS Nutritional Protocol, will rebuild your body out of high quality material, the best quality materials. And as soon as that happens, and that takes a few years because different tissues renew themselves at different speed. For example, your gut lining cells, which line your gut, only live 2 days. So the turnover of the cells there happens very, very fast. You can rebuild your gut quite quickly, fairly quickly. But your skeleton takes 7 years to rebuild itself. Every 7 years, you have a completely new skeleton, completely new bones, made out of newly born baby cells. So old cells have all died, been removed, and you have new skeleton. So when people say that, well, I've got arthritis and that's it, that's for the rest of my life, that's a complete nonsense to your body. Because your body rebuilds your bones and your joints all the time out of new materials, all the time. And if you start eating high quality materials in the right proportions, you will rebuild your joints and rebuild your skeleton and rebuild your whole body out of high quality materials. And as a result, your body will start listening to you much better and functioning much better and serving you much better. So that is what the GAPS diet and GAPS Nutritional Protocol will do for you. But then every human being is unique. There is a unique circumstances you live in. You have a unique mind. You have a unique spirit. We are spiritual beings, and that's very important. You have a unique karma that you are going through. You have to go through certain difficulties and certain adversity in your life because that is your karma. You have to go through certain illnesses. Illnesses are part of your karma. So all of this make you unique, which means that it isn't enough. One size fits all doesn't suit everybody. You have to find your own pieces for your own puzzle, what you need in life. So for one person, simply restoring the microbiome and rebuilding their body out of high quality materials is enough. They recover beautifully. They can go on and live their lives. For other people, they have to do a serious mental work to undo certain attitudes in life, certain thought patterns, certain trauma in their past, maybe even ancestral trauma, that they have inherited, because we do inherit the trauma that our parents and grandparents went through. So perhaps you need to do something, forgive someone, or do something to clear that trauma. So for somebody, that mental work is very important. For another person, maybe they got contaminated with toxic metals. Maybe they had amalgam fillings in their teeth. Amalgam fillings is a terrible indictment of what has been done to the Western world, in particular in the last century, because every amalgam filling in your tooth is leaching mercury. Mercury is one of the most poisonous things in the world. It particularly targets high fat tissues in the body. That's where it accumulates. Your brain is a high fat tissue. The rest of your nervous system is a high fat tissue. Your hormonal system is a high fat tissue. Your endocrine glands are high fat tissues. Your bone marrow is a high fat tissue. Mercury, lead, aluminium, arsenic, and other toxic things and toxic metals like that accumulate in high fat tissues. That is why they often implicated multiple sclerosis, in amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, in neuropathies, in other neurological disorders, in endocrine disorders such as Hashimoto, such as adrenal insufficiency and other endocrine disorders. It is implicated in bone marrow problems such as leukemia, lymphoma, and other lymphatic cancers and other lymphatic disorders in people. So some people have to take steps to clear these toxic metals out of their bodies. The GAPS nutritional protocol will strengthen your body to such a degree that the body can deal with that. It can deal with toxic metals. It can remove toxic metals on its own, because your body has mechanisms for removing toxic metals, which our science hasn't even discovered yet. So if you make your body strong, if you allow your body to rebuild those mechanisms, the body will remove most of this contamination on its own. But in some people, it's not enough. It's not sufficient. They have to do some chelation of toxic metals, which can take many years, and it's a consistent effort, and it's very difficult, and we still do not have an efficient way of removing toxic metals out of the human body. There are several different protocols. All of them have pluses and minuses, and none of them is 100% perfect. So some people have to do some spiritual work in order to clear karma, in order to clear things that they've inherited from previous lifetimes. Some people have to do other work. Some people are sensitive to molds. That might be the biggest piece of their puzzle. Black mold, being sensitive to molds. Lots of people in the world are sensitive to molds, and that is a big, big problem for people. My heart really goes to those people, because it's a very difficult situation to deal with. And many people have to deal with that before they can fully recover. So every human being is unique. For one person, homeopathy does wonders. For another person, herbs do wonders. For another person, meditation. For another person, spiritual healing. For another person, maybe regression, maybe mental work, maybe chelation, maybe something else. All of those things are helpful to different people, and every one of you have to find your own unique path. But GAPS nutritional protocol and GAPS diet would lay a solid foundation for your body to go through that journey, to achieve it, to accomplish it, because it will rebuild your body out of quality materials. So every organ will start functioning at the peak of its ability. And because it restores the microbial community in your body, rebalances it, brings the harmony back there. And it is the microbial community that is the majority of your body. And it is the microbial community that is really in charge of the human body.
Perfect. So the gut microbiome and the flora in the gut, what does a perfect gut flora look like? Do anyone have that anymore?
No. That's the short answer. No.
Yeah, exactly.
The science and the researchers are working on it. You know, the first people who started researching gut flora was the Soviet Union. Because Ilya Mechnikov, who discovered the gut flora in the first place, was Russian. And he's done that at the beginning of the 20th century. And then during the Soviet years, a huge amount of research has been done in that area in the Soviet Union. In parallel, Vietnam was doing a lot of amazing research into gut flora and some other small places in the world. The Western world got interested in this only in the maybe 10 years ago or so. Before then, the Western world denied that such a thing exists. that there are any microbes in the human body. They simply denied it. So they started, they just could not deny it anymore, and they had to start researching it. And so far, all the research has been focused on bacteria, 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 and bacteria. As if there are only bacteria in the microbial world, in the world, on our planet. The basis of any microbial community in nature are fungi, not bacteria. Fungi. And human body contains hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands of different varieties of fungi. Fungi, as Americans say. People pronounce it differently. Fungi, fungi, fungi. Yeah. So far, about 80 different varieties of fungi have been discovered in the healthy human digestive system alone. Fungi grow long hyphae, hundreds of meters long protrusions. And the diameter of every of those hyphae, of those protrusions, those long, 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 long like hair, are about 100 times bigger than bacteria. So in every microbial community, fungi create the roadwork in the whole microbial community. They create the motorways, the streets, the lanes, the roads. And along those roads, bacteria, viruses, and other smaller creatures build their little villages, towns, cities, their houses. And along the fungal network, water is brought, nutrients are brought, toxins are taken away. Fungi have a fantastic ability to deal with various toxicity in the body. They, for example, protect us from mercury. That's why people who have amalgam fillings, for example, and they keep swallowing mercury all the time, every time they swallow something, even a bit of their saliva, they're swallowing mercury. And that mercury arrives into the stomach and goes through the esophagus. What the body does in that situation, it grows an active population of fungi in the stomach and in the esophagus of that person. Because fungi absorb that mercury into their own hyphae, into themselves, in their own bodies. And as a result, they protect you from mercury. But fungi, fungal overgrowth in the stomach and in the esophagus, is not nice. Because fungi behave in their own sweet way. They have their own habits and they cause their own symptoms. You start belching, you start burping, gas starts being produced in your digestive system because fungi love eating sugars and processed carbohydrates. So every time you eat anything made out of flour and sugar, fungi have a feast. They produce gases and they produce alcohol because they use alcoholic fermentation for processing flour, sugar, and other carbohydrate potatoes and other processed carbohydrates. They process them through this biochemical chain called alcoholic fermentation. The result of that is alcohol. So you don't need to drink alcohol to be drunk. If you have a fungal overgrowth in your stomach and in your esophagus, you will be producing alcohol. They will be producing alcohol for you every time you had a breakfast cereal, or you had chocolate, or you had bread, or you had pasta, or you had potatoes, or anything like that. These people are constantly drunk. Autistic children, 100%, all of them suffer from this problem. They are permanently drunk. And as soon as that, when that alcohol comes into the liver, absorbs, and alcohol absorbs very fast because it's a small molecular weight substance, as soon as it hits the liver, in the liver, it's converted into a very poisonous substance called acetaldehyde. That is the substance which causes hangover. For any person who experienced hangover, they will tell you how awful that feels. People vomit, they have terrible headache, they feel absolutely dead, they have no energy, everything hurts. That's how acetaldehyde feels. That's how autistic children feel all the time. They never have any other feeling. That is why they cry. That is why they can be aggressive. That is why they misbehave. That is why they bang their heads on the floor and on sharp corners of furniture, because their head hurts. They have a permanent headache. They permanently feel nauseous. They have a permanent hangover. And not only autistic children, schizophrenic people, people with bipolar disorder feel that way quite often. People with other psychiatric illnesses feel that way quite often. People with other conditions feel that way quite often. That is what amalgam fillings do for you. And that's coming back to the microbial communities and to the fungi. Fungi protect you from mercury. There is no allowed minimum of mercury in the science. Because even one molecule of mercury, one part per million, damages your body irreversibly. It's a very, very toxic substance. And yet our dentists have been happily, jollily putting this mercury into teeth of children, pregnant women, and the population in the Western world for decades. Only now, in Western countries, they're starting to recognize what they've done and what they're doing to people. And only now, they stopped putting it in Britain, for example, only in the last few years, they stopped putting mercury into children's teeth and pregnant women's teeth. But they're continuing to do it with the adults. So that is just with mercury. But there's lots and lots of other toxins in our environment, in our water, in our food, in everything we are exposed to. So fungi protect you from these things by absorbing these things into their own bodies. But then you have a fungal overgrowth and you have a candida syndrome. There are books written on this subject. Many people are familiar with it. And many people think, what do I do with this candida? I must kill it. I must remove it. I should take some antifungal medication or something else. If you are still exposed to mercury, or you are still exposed to lead or aluminium or barium, which is in all the packaging that you buy the food from supermarkets. Food in supermarkets wrapped in packaging, which is full of barium. That's another toxic metal. And other things as well. If you are continue being exposed to these things, your body has no choice but to grow a strong population of fungi to deal with that. Because otherwise, the damage that these toxic metals will cause to your body will be far too severe, far too dangerous. So no matter how much you try to kill fungi in your body, when you try to kill them with powerful antifungal medications, they release all that mercury back into your system. That's why you feel awful. And that's called a die-off reaction, a fungal die-off. Because you are being hit by all that mercury and lead and all the other toxic metals that fungi were holding for you and protecting you from. So it isn't an easy situation. It's not so easy as going to the doctor and getting an antifungal medication or taking some Podarco or another, you know, golden seal or another antifungal herbal thing. You need to first clean your body. You need to restore your microbial community in the body. And you need to stop taking in toxic metals, which means you need to change your lifestyle. You need to work with a holistic dentist because that's a new profession in dentistry. It's a rare species. They're expensive, holistic dentists, because they are rare, and only demand for them will make them, these people more common for us, because the science exists. We know how to deal with this situation. But it is difficult to train these dentists. And vast majority of dentistry in the world are mainstream dentists. They have no idea how to safely remove an amalgam filling. You know that the major number one cause of mental illness in adults nowadays is inappropriate removal of amalgam fillings by a conventional dentist. Because if amalgam fillings are removed incorrectly without protecting you from all that mercury that is being released from that filling when it's being drilled out from your tooth, you are exposed to such a dose which can trigger multiple sclerosis, depression, bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, epilepsy, autoimmune illness, cancer. There are millions of people in the world who become severely sick because they've removed their amalgam fillings with conventional dentists. It is very important to find a holistic dentist because they are trained how to properly and safely remove amalgam fillings. So it isn't a simple situation and a simple matter. So that's what I mean, that every human being is unique. Every human being has its own puzzle to undo and its own healing journey.
Thank you. And luckily, we have had Dr. Dominique Nivic on the podcast, and he's a holistic dentist. So he has been inspiring all our listeners to think very wisely before they go to the dentist. But Dr. Natasha, we wonder, when you see a new client, when you meet people in despair, it's kind of hard to, it's quite overwhelming, all the information you share. So where should one start?
Always start with the diet. Always. That is a number one thing that people have to change. Always. Because your body is a microbial community. I'm repeating this again. The most powerful influence on any microbial community in the world is food. Nothing comes close to food and its effect on any microbial community. Because your body is a microbial community, nothing comes close to food in its ability to affect your health and disease. No medication, no chelation, no mental work, no herbs, no homeopathy, nothing will come close. You have to change your diet first.
How long does it take to start feeling better with the gaps, with treating the from the food side?
Some people start feeling better in a few days. But in some people, the changes can be so gradual and slow, they don't notice them. And also human nature comes in, because in our human nature, there is such a thing. We accept the good changes as given, as normal. You know, we deeply, deeply understand that feeling well is normal. That's how it should be. So people don't notice good things, because that's the normal thing. That's the way it should be. People focus on the negatives in their lives, because that's something that needs to be removed, needs to be attended to. That's how it should not be. Life, it should not be that way. That's why all the focus of people goes on the negatives. That is why I recommend to everyone to keep a diary. Write down every day just a few words. What happened today? How you felt? What symptoms you have? What happened to your symptoms? It's a good idea to scale, to grade your symptoms from 1 to 10. So 10 is the worst. 1 is the minimum. And every day if you would grade, you know, today I feel, you know, pain, for example, in my knee at the level 5. And then you look back a few days and you see that it was level 8 a few days ago. Now it's level 5. If you didn't write that down and if you didn't measure that, we don't remember things, you know, we forget things. People don't remember what was happening a few days ago. So it's a good idea to keep a diary. That will allow you to compare what's happening to you today with what was happening a few days ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, a month ago. And that way it will give you hope and encouragement that you're on the right path and you're doing the right thing. You are getting better.
Great. The writing down and the diary is a really good tip. That's something we all should do because we cannot remember. But when you start the GAPS diet, you start with the introduction phase. Can you explain the introduction phase and who it's for?
The introduction diet is the ideal. It will achieve the deepest healing for you, step by step, because it's made out of 6 stages. And we start on the first stage with the foods that are the most healing, the most building for your body, and which are the easiest to digest for your digestive system. But life is such, human life, that ideals happen very rarely, right? Life is not ideal. There's so many varieties and parameters happening. So for majority of people, I do not recommend starting from the introduction diet. I recommend to start from the full GAPS diet. Because introduction diet is difficult. The first stage is very limited. There's only a small group of foods you're allowed to eat in there. You need to have a kitchen that is properly set up. You need to learn how to cook. Many people in our world don't cook at all. For them, it's a huge learning curve to even get a first pan, or how to use a frying pan, or what to do, you know. So we have to teach them the most simplest things. So if you're working hard and you are used to eating out, if you're traveling with your work, if you have a teenager who is not agreeing to change his diet at all, or you have difficult children, or you have another situation in life which makes it difficult, do not start with the GAPS introduction diet. You can do it later. When you're equipped, when you have enough energy, when you've set yourself up and you're organized to succeed with it. Start from the full GAPS diet. The full GAPS diet allows you to eat all the foods on the allowed list of GAPS foods. So you will be able to have baking and fruit and nuts and meat and eggs and fish and vegetables and soup. You know, you will have a much wider range of recipes available to you and much wider range of foods that are allowed for you to eat. Staying on that for a few months will achieve a lot of healing for you. You will see your symptoms will be disappearing. You will feel better. A lot of healing. But it will also allow you to re-equip your kitchen, remove all the things which should not be in your kitchen, get new things that should be in your kitchen, find the right supplies of foods, the right quality of food, which also takes time. Learn different recipes, learn how to cook, learn how to incorporate all of that into your busy life, the cooking, the cleaning, the shopping, the equipping your kitchen, all of that needs time, all of that needs effort, all of that is not easy. It will give you time to deal with your teenager or to deal with your children or to deal maybe with a difficult husband who doesn't understand what's going on and doesn't agree with all of this, because that's the problem. Or maybe to deal with grandmother who keeps bringing pies and chocolate cakes and whatever else into the house. So, and when you're organized and when you have your family on board and when your kitchen is set up, and you've got all your food supplies, and you've got your favorite recipes, and you've got the agreement of your husband and your grandparents and your children, and you know, then you do the GAPS introduction diet. Then you will succeed with it. You will be able to sustain it, to stay on it, and to achieve deeper healing. But before even the GAPS introduction diet, on the full GAPS diet, you will achieve a lot of healing, a lot of healing.
You have to talk to us about the meat and chicken stock that you make, because this is really special and it's not to be confused with the bone broth. Can you tell us about that and the healing effect of it?
Absolutely. There is a confusion in the world about bone broth and meat stock. GAPS nutritional protocol uses meat stock, not bone broth. Bone broth, I call the poor man's meat stock, because throughout centuries, majority of people didn't have access to a lot of meat. You know, and there was no refrigeration for hundreds of years. So when you killed an animal, you had to deal with it very quickly, otherwise it'll spoil, and who knows how soon you'll be able to kill another animal, you know, how quickly you will have it. So when people would cook a piece of a joint, the bones that were left from that joint, and they would have been polished, they would have been clean, you know, people ate all the soft tissues on those bones, just a bare bone. They would then put into one pot, and because people had a hearth in their kitchen or they had a fire outside somewhere which was maintained all the time, they would put a pot on that fire with water. They would throw all those bones, and they continue throwing all those bones into that pot, keep topping up the water and putting some acidity into it. Vinegar can be put, lemon can be squeezed in it. You know, some people add other things for acidity in there. And those bones will be cooking and cooking and cooking in that stove, in that pot forever, until the acidity, the vinegar in the water, will leach out all the calcium from the bones, and the bones become soft. You can literally crush them with your hand. At that point, these bones can be eaten, or they can be given to chickens or pigs or other animals. Pigs love them, absolutely love them. Chickens love them because they're soft and they can just eat them completely. So nothing was wasted. And the liquid that resulted from boiling those bones forever was quite rich in minerals, in amino acids, and people would drink it, and it's a good support for a healthy person. But we do not use it in the GAPS nutritional protocol because there is far too much glutamic acid in it. It's one of the amino acids. People with mental illnesses, with allergies, with histamine syndrome, with immune system abnormalities, autoimmune illnesses react to too much glutamine. Their symptoms get worse. And people with mental illnesses can get severe headaches, and they can get exacerbation of their symptoms. So that's not a good idea. On top of that, bone broth is lacking collagen, which is abundant in the meat stock. So let's talk now about the meat stock. So bone broth for GAPS people can be added later on. After your major symptoms are gone, you're feeling much better, you're recovering, you're strong now, and you think what to do with all these bones. It's a pity to throw them away, right? You know, it is a resource, a very good resource. So what I recommend to people while you are healing yourself on the meat stock, collect all these bones left from your meals in a freezer. Just make one big bag in the chest freezer and just keep collecting them in there, right? And when you're ready, then you'll be able to take them out of the freezer, put them in a pot. There's also an electric pan called a crock pot, which you switch on. It works on low voltage, very economical on electricity. And that can be cooking forever, just like that pot on the stove in the olden times. So just put them in the freezer for now. Meat stock is made out of a chunk of animal when nothing is removed. You just take a leg of the animal or feet or the neck or the head or the spine, you know, or the ankles, or bits and pieces which you cannot cook quickly, which do not provide you with a roast or something else because the tissues are just too tough on them. You put it in a pan, that chunk of animal, and in the middle there is a bone, there is a joint, there are, if it's a pork, then the skin on top, all the meat is there, and everything is there. The arteries, the nerves, the fat, everything's there, nothing's removed. So you put that in a pan, you fill the pan with water, you cover the meat with water, you add salt, you can add an onion, a carrot, some black pepper, and cook it for a few hours until the meat becomes soft and it starts falling off the bones. So for a chicken, that's usually supermarket chicken, that's an hour. For a proper chicken, that's about 2 hours. For fish, it's half an hour. For pork and beef and lamb, maybe 3 hours on a slow cooking. You bring up to boil, then reduce the heat to minimum, put the lid on top and let it cook for 3 hours until the meat is soft. And that provides you with a clear, delicious water stock. The water that you put in there turns into this stock, which you can drink. You can pour that stock off the meat, add vegetables, cook for 20 minutes until the vegetables are soft, and you've got a soup. And the meat, that joint of meat that you've used, it's a meal. It's a delicious, wonderful meal. So you can put that on the table, you can cut it, add vegetables, and the whole family can enjoy that as a meal. You can add some sauce to it, and that'll be a stew for you, or you can add something else and roast it quickly. If you want some chilies or whatever, you know, some spicy sauce, you can do that too with it. So that is what we call meat stock. Meat stock is very different from bone broth. It has amino acids, it has minerals, it doesn't have the excess of glutamic acid that the bone broth contains. But the most important thing about it is that it has collagen, large amounts of protein called collagen. 3/4 of all collagen in your body is, of all protein in your body, is collagen. It is an elastic protein that holds your body together. Your ligaments, your fascia, capsules of all your organs, capsules where your nerves are traveling, the walls of your arteries and the veins are practically pure collagen. The gut lining is collagen. All your mucous membranes are very rich in collagen. Your bones are largely made out of collagen. You know that osteoporosis, the thinning of the bones, is not lack of calcium at all. It is lack of collagen. Because bones are like bookshelves. The shelving is made out of collagen. Calcium, magnesium, boron, and other minerals are books standing on those shelves. Osteoporosis is when collagen is lacking. The shelving is all broken. So the books have nowhere to stand. They just fall off. They get lost. So supplementing calcium, adding more books to that library will not fix the problem. You need to rebuild the shelving. Only then your bones will become strong. And for that, you need collagen. And for that, you need a soup every day, a bowl of soup every day made with a homemade proper meat stock. The word soup in the Western world has become something derogatory because nobody makes proper soup in the Western world. People lost that skill. Soup for them is something in a tin from a supermarket made on water. You know, something that is kind of a second-rate meal, right? No. That's not what the proper soup is. In every traditional society, when people killed their animal, they would not waste a morsel of that animal. Because they loved that animal. They looked after that animal for a long time. They would use every bit of that animal. How much pure muscle meat can you get from an animal? Not a lot, a few kilograms. Something that people consider, that people in the Western world call with the word meat. When you say the word meat to people in the Western world, they see steak. They see skinless, boneless, you know, fatless, pure muscle. A piece of pure muscle of the animal that you can cook 3 minutes on each side and you've got your steak, right? Not much you can get from an animal of that sort of tissue. Majority of the carcass of the animal are bones and joints and tissues that are so tough, you need to cook them in water for several hours in order for them to become soft enough for you to even bite and chew. That is why soup was a staple in every traditional society all over the world, and it still is in traditional societies around the world. When you take a chunk of animal with all those ligaments and fascia and skin and tough tissues and bones and joints, and you boil it in water, and the resulting liquid is called meat stock, and it's very, very rich in collagen. So when you drink it and when you eat soup made with that meat stock, you are supplementing your body with collagen. You're feeding the very structure of your body, the structure of your bones. The skeleton of your muscles is collagen. The capsule of every organ is collagen. The fascia, the large parts of the muscles, the ligaments, the joints, that's all collagen. And collagen is renewed in the human body, just like anything else, all the time. You keep losing collagen. You have to rebuild it all the time. And for that, you building materials are required. And they come from that meat stock, and they come from that soup. Every day, on a regular basis. It's absolutely essential. On top of that, what we need to understand, and that is a big predicament for the Western population in the world, collagen is a magnet for toxicity in the human body, because collagen contains certain amino acids which attract toxins to themselves, grab hold of them and hold them, neutralize them that way. So when we eat pesticides, when we eat herbicides, when we eat fertilizers, so-called fertilizers, chemical fertilizers, when we have pharmaceuticals, when we are exposed to washing chemicals, hundreds of thousands of chemicals that our environment is full of and our food and water is full of, when they absorb these things, and plus all the toxic things that the abnormal gut flora will produce in your body, they also absorb. They contaminate your collagen. And when that molecule of collagen gets contaminated with a molecule of toxin like that, your immune system, which goes around the body all the time surveying the whole place, will find these contaminated molecules of collagen. Look at them and say, you're not mine. You look strange. You look abnormal. And the first thing that it will do, it will use inflammation to clean that contaminated collagen. What is inflammation? The place is swollen, red, hot, hurts, and doesn't work. That's what inflammation is. That is what every arthritis is. That was every lump on your skin is. That's what acne is, inflammation. That's what cystitis is inflammation. So what do people do in that situation? They run to the doctor, they get anti-inflammatory drugs, and start taking anti-inflammatory drugs to kill the inflammation. So if the immune system cannot use inflammation to clean your collagen, it then has to use more stronger tools, more damaging tools, such as autoimmunity. So if you keep contaminating your joints with a particular chemical because you keep eating particular food, particular brand, something you're buying in the supermarket because you like it, and you're eating particular chemicals, the body will initially use inflammation. So your joints will flare up, you'll get arthritis, so you'll get some other inflammatory condition. But when the body sees that inflammation is not enough, it'll start developing specific antibodies against that contaminated collagen. And those antibodies will start destroying those molecules and removing them. You will start losing collagen at a very fast rate. What does that mean? It means you will develop osteoporosis. You will break your bones easily. That means the walls of your arteries and veins and your aorta and the tissues lining your heart and your whole circulatory system will become very weak. They'll rupture easily. They'll get damaged easily. The first steps of that situation is when you start bruising easily. You've lifted a chair or a bucket with water and you got a bruise on your hand. You think, what's going on? You know why? I haven't done anything. I haven't banged myself or hurt myself, but I got a bruise, because your blood vessels are weak, because your collagen in the body is being dissolved and removed. You're losing collagen. Your bones become thick. You start getting prolapse of organs. Your organs start hanging too low because every capsule that is holding the organ in place where it's supposed to be hanging, your liver, your intestines, your bowel, your stomach, everything, your lungs, they start sagging. Because those capsules become weak and the ligaments supporting those capsules become weak. And when they're sagging and when they're in the wrong position, they start giving you symptoms. They don't work very well. You start getting hernias. And children who have that situation have double joints. They become clumsy, those children. They fall over on a perfectly level floor. They hurt themselves. They bruise themselves all the time. They can bend their hand in such a way that the fingers touch here. When they straighten their leg, their knees are pointing backwards because the joints are loose and they don't hold together very well because this collagen is lacking in the body of that child. This situation is very common amongst autistic children and hyperactive children and dyslexic children. So we need to eat collagen every day. And that is what meat stock in the GAPS diet will provide for you, not bone broth.
Thank you. But if you wanted to supplement collagen, if you don't have the time to do soup, would that be a good idea?
That is a very expensive way of doing it and an inefficient way. The soup bowl, and particularly if you've blended some pork skin into that soup. Pork skin soup is delicious, beautiful soup. If you blend some skin, cooked skin into the soup, you will get about 5 jars of those capsules.
Sounds better. But you do recommend supplements, Natasha. So what are the top 3 you see your patient needs?
Majority of people that do the GAPS nutritional protocol around the world, and it is a global phenomenon. My books have been translated into many, many languages. So they don't take any supplements because they simply cannot afford them. Supplements are expensive. And they recover. Mother Nature created human body to get all its nourishment from food. Not from pills. We don't need pills. But for people who can afford them, supplements can be helpful. And the basic supplements that we do recommend for people are cod liver oil, good quality cod liver oil, fish oils, and probiotics. And that's about it. Even that is not strictly necessary. And we use them only in the initial stages of the diet, when the people get rid of their nutritional deficiencies. And GAPS diet is nutrient-dense diet. You will get nutrition in concentrated amounts. Your body will remove all its deficiencies very quickly on the GAPS diet. When that point is reached, we stop all the supplements. There is no need for them anymore.
Thank you. We also did some research in many of the autistic communities who tried the GAPS and it didn't work with no good results. Could you explain why? What did I do wrong? Or is this not for everybody?
It is for everybody. If people are not doing it correctly, then they may run into problems. That is why I have trained thousands of certified GAPS practitioners and certified GAPS coaches. We train them online on gapstraining.com. Please go into gapstraining.com and you will find many courses there. If you find that it is you hit some difficulties with the GAPS nutritional program, you don't know what to do, and you know, usually in every family there are grandparents and aunts and uncles and professionals and nutritionists, and everybody's giving their advice and telling you, oh, you're doing it all wrong and you should do this and you should do that, and people get lost, and as you veer away and start doing something wrong and are afraid of this and don't understand what's going on here, you can lose your weight. It's very easy to do that. So that is why we have these professionals for those people. Go on my website called gaps.me, where there is a button on the right saying find a GAPS practitioner and find a GAPS coach. So you can find these professionals. We have wonderful, wonderful practitioners and coaches all over the world. Majority of them now work online via Zoom, Skype, WhatsApp, or any other platform online. So you don't necessarily have to look for a practitioner locally. You can work online with people.
Yes, we will make sure to put the link under here afterwards. But if you could just shortly sum up food-wise, what we should and need to avoid, all like lactose, gluten, if you could just make a short list, what we should avoid.
The first thing to avoid, remove out of your life, are processed foods.
Of course, yes.
They should not be called foods. They should not be called with a noble name food, because they're not.
Thank you.
These are technocratic creations that humanity has created, and they just do not work for the human body.
And that goes for seed oils as well.
Of course. Anything that went through a factory, anything that lost what Mother Nature has made it, we have to buy everything in the shape and form that Mother Nature made, as fresh as possible, and then cook at home. Prepare them at home using traditional techniques. My books explain all of that, and there are recipes.
It does. But people love to see evidence and science. How much scientific evidence is there supporting the effectiveness of GAPS?
We have set up a GAPS Nutrition GAPS Science Foundation now almost 3 years ago now. We have already published 4 papers in peer-reviewed journals. So we are doing science to show that GAPS Nutritional Protocol works. We have a paper on Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis. We have a paper on ticks and Tourette. We have a paper on pandas. We have a paper on FBIs. That's food-induced protein enterocolitis syndrome, a terrible situation in babies and small children. And we have other papers coming up. We've got a paper coming up on autism and a paper coming up on juvenile arthritis and asthma and eczema. So we are working on it. If you go on the gapsciencefoundation.org, you will find all those papers. You will find our team of researchers. We have a wonderful team of researchers, scientists working on all of this. And there is a button there to support us because research is expensive. We are doing it all entirely at our own expense. So if you would like to support us, we'll be grateful.
Yes, thank you.
Wow, this is a lot to take in. You are a wealth of knowledge.
A library.
Yeah, a library. And we could go into like so many diseases. You have like a list of, I think, every disease in the world in the book that the GAPS diet will help. So this is just amazing. And we would like to know, do you follow the GAPS diet today?
Absolutely. I live on it.
Yeah.
And I keep my family on it. And it prevents every disease in the world.
Yeah.
So how could you just describe what would a food day look like for you from the morning, from breakfast, lunch, dinner?
I eat when I'm hungry, and every human being should eat only when we're hungry. There's no need to eat just because it's a particular time. So for breakfast, I have usually late breakfast. For breakfast in the morning, I just drink water and I drink kefir. I make kefir at home, using kefir grains. So I drink some kefir, I drink some water, and I get busy. Then by lunchtime, when I'm hungry, I have a brunch. I have sort of something between a breakfast and a lunch. And that's usually eggs, that's bacon, that's meat with vegetables, fermented vegetables, and oily fish, if it's available. After that, I'm usually not hungry until evening or late afternoon. And for the main meal, it's usually soup plus meat and vegetables, or fish and vegetables.
So if we just added the daily soup, we are GAPSers, Aletta.
Yep, we will be. And I want to start adding that soup again. I have tried it several times, but then you get a little kind of out of it. But now when we've been talking about it, it's delicious.
And I used to do kefir at home, so I will try to add that on again. I was inspired now. But please, Dr. Natasha, you are coming to Oslo, and that's really exciting. There's so many people who are willing to come and see you live. Have you been here before?
No, that will be first.
So what will you be speaking about? Tell us something about, I mean, it's going to, of course, cover the gaps, but what will you be speaking about?
I'll talk about the gaps, of course. But I will talk also about vegetarianism and heart disease and diabetes and obesity, metabolic syndrome, all the modern problems that people are dealing with, that people are facing, depending on how much time I'll be given.
The people that in your audience, will they be surprised about your views on veganism?
Absolutely. I have a book on this subject.
Can you just give us a highlight, just a little bit?
I worked with many vegetarians and vegans who became very, very ill because of vegetarianism. These were young people who were perfectly healthy. Many of them were not even GAPSters. Many of them have never been vaccinated, never had antibiotics, were healthy before they decided to become vegetarian or vegan. And the propaganda for vegetarianism is very powerful. It is pushed upon the whole of the Western world by their governments because the governments are controlled by global corporations. That's what, you know, that's who dictates the agricultural policies in the Western world. And in that book, I describe and I explain where this propaganda comes from and why it is so active. And It's written, the propaganda, by very powerful, very professional psychologists who know how to manipulate people's minds. They press on emotions and they press on ignorance. When I was working with these young people with all these illnesses, naturally, I asked the question, why? Why did they become so ill? Because these were anorexic, boys and girls, bipolar, autoimmune illnesses. Hormones were all over the world, all over the place in them. Neurological symptoms, digestive system was severely damaged in all of them. And so I've asked that question and I started researching the whole subject. And the result of that research was the book, Vegetarianism Explained, which is listed on my websites. You will find it, Vegetarianism Explained, where I explain how human body handles animal foods and how human body handles plants. These two groups of foods are handled by human body very, very differently. And the clinical experience, the life itself, the pictures of my patients, what's going on with them, my patients, have given me not a shadow of a doubt that human beings can live perfectly well without eating plants at all. We do not need 5 a day. We do not need 15 a day. We do not need 7 a day. We do not need vegetables and fruit or nuts or grains at all. And there is a growing population of young people in the world who indeed cut out all plants from their diet and recover from very severe chronic illnesses. This is the carnivore movement, the primal diet movement, and some other, they call themselves with different names. And in my blue book, I describe the no plant gaps diet. This is not my idea. This is my clinical experience. My patients are my teachers. Everything that I write in my books, I don't take from any other books or textbooks. Not at all. This is my clinical experience. This is what my patients have taught me. Their bodies, their suffering, their symptoms, the way they recover, that's what they taught me. And that's what I write in my books. This is life. That's how it goes on there in these sort of things. And in the blue book, there is a variety of the GAPS diet, which is called the no plant GAPS diet. And the first patients who taught me that were the FPIES babies. I was contacted some 15 years ago now, or maybe 12 years ago. I was contacted by a group of mothers from America who had exclusively breastfed babies. Nothing else the baby was receiving, just breast milk. Vomiting, diarrhea, the child is losing weight, the child is not developing. A newborn baby usually gains weight quite rapidly. These babies were losing weight. They were not digesting anything. Doctors tested them and found that these babies are allergic to all protein on the planet. So the mothers were instructed to stop breastfeeding. The babies were put on an elemental formula made out of soya. And these children, if they go on this mainstream treatments, they develop profound mental and physical disabilities, and a large percent of them simply die. They don't survive. This is called food-induced enterocolitis syndrome, protein-induced enterocolitis, FPIES. So I knew through my clinical experience by then that plants are very difficult for human beings to digest. You need to have a cast iron digestive system in order to deal with a large amount of plant matter. And the more the digestive system is damaged in a human being, the less plant matter this human being can tolerate. So these babies had such a damaged digestive system that they could not tolerate anything at all. So plants were not their friends at all. So we started with these mothers, with these babies, with the first stage introduction diet, where the plant matter is reduced to very minimal amounts and it's thoroughly cooked and it's low fiber plant matter. And we discovered that they cannot tolerate it either. So the next step was to remove all plants altogether. But when we've done that, when these babies started living entirely on meat stock, on gelatinous meats, that's not muscle, that's ligaments, bone marrow, a bit of liver and fat from the animal. And when we started adding raw egg yolks and kefir for these babies, they started recovering. Diarrhea stopped, vomiting stopped, they started gaining weight, these children. They started growing, started developing. Lots of protein. because their gut lining was so damaged, so porous, so leaky. They were not digesting the protein well. The protein was absorbing undigested and triggering allergies. That's the cause of all allergies. That's the cause of all food intolerances, allergies, the damaged, porous, leaky gut wall. In order to rebuild the gut wall in a baby, you need lots and lots of collagen, lots and lots of protein and fat, and you need microbial community, which orchestrates the whole process, which builds that gut wall. It's the workers there, the microbes. So that's what we gave to these babies. And of course, until all those holes in their gut lining closed up, they continued reacting to the protein. That is the time when the parents need a lot of reassurance and a lot of explanations. That's why we need CGPs and CGCs, certified GAPS practitioners and GAPS coaches, who keep explaining the patient to the patients what's going on and keeping them on track so they don't get afraid and don't step back and don't come off the diet. But once the hole started closing up, diarrhea stopped, vomiting stopped, baby started gaining weight and started growing. I had children who stayed on a no plant GAPS diet for 4 or 5 years. Some children stayed for 10. And every time we tried to introduce a tiny morsel of a vegetable, diarrhea would return. These were very sensitive children. But without those plants, these children grew, no mental disability, no physical disability, bright-eyed, pushy-tailed, intelligent, playing sports, succeeding at school, having friends, having a wonderful life. So these children taught me that human beings can live without plants perfectly well. But lots and lots of vegans and vegetarians have taught me another truth, that human beings cannot survive without animal foods, because animal foods are the only foods, and that is meat, fish, eggs, and dairy, the only foods that are compatible with our anatomy, physiology, that are compatible with the structure of our human digestive system, that are easy for us to digest, and that provide the perfect building materials for building our bones, joints, muscles, heart, lungs, liver, brain, and the rest of it. That is what I describe in that book. I describe how different groups of foods work in the human body. And I describe that veganism is not a diet. It's a form of fasting. Fasting can be beneficial for a short period of time. But nobody can fast forever. That is why every vegan sooner or later becomes very ill.
Thank you. We can't wait to hear you live. And thank you so much for sharing your knowledge, your clinical experience. And we will make sure to leave all the links under here. Thank you so much.
That's a pleasure.
See you. Thank you. See you soon.
See you in Oslo.
Bye-bye.
Ja, Alette, da har vi nerdet nok en gang I en interessant samtale med Dr. Natasha. Altså, det var ikke så mye nytt I forhold til det man har lest I bøkene, men vi fikk det veldig grundig forklart nå.
Jeg må virkelig si at dette jo en dame som hun kan snakke, og hun kan forklare, og hun kan svare på spørsmål. Og ja, vi har jo lest boken mange ganger, og jeg håper dere også nå skjønner hva dette betyr.
Som dere skjønner, Dr. Natasha Campbell-McBride, hun jo da lege med fokus på nevrologi og på ernæring, og hun mener at man skal starte med maten uansett, og hun henvender seg til en gruppe mennesker som har, det jo nærmest blitt en epidemi dette med autisme. Det har vært en stor økning I antall folk med diagnosen autisme, og hun mener at det så stor sammenheng med mikrobiome I magen vår, og var vi født med at vi arvet dette fra våre foreldre.
Ja, og vi hørte jo nettopp Zach Bush også, Monica, som snakket om akkurat det samme, og dette med at det går I generasjoner, ikke sant? At det blir verre og verre for hver generasjon. Så nå det jo helt ekstremt mange som sliter med, det jo ikke bare autisme, men det jo alle mulige sykdommer nå. Og det jo veldig, veldig spennende at hun, og jeg prøvde jo å spørre henne om akkurat det med, I og med at vi så utrolig mange som får dette her nå, altså hjelper det med GAPS-dieten? Og hun kunne jo si ja, det kanskje, men kanskje ikke bare, at det fundamentet I det vi kan gjøre jo å starte med dieten, og det snakker vi også ofte om, at det et ikke et lett, men et enkelt sted å starte.
Så bare for å oppsummere litt, så skjedde jo dette etter andre verdenskrig, hvor den store endringen i mikrobiomet til de nyfødte barna og mange diagnoser. Og siden du fortalte nå om Dr. Zach Bush, så må man kanskje bare si litt hvem han er. Han er jo en lege som har fordypet seg veldig i healingen i kroppene våre ut fra et naturligere perspektiv, hvordan vi blir ødelagt av kjemikalier, pesticider, herbicides, altså alt som ødelegger vårt eget naturlige vesen, og vi klarer liksom ikke å leve i takt med det som vi skapt for å gjøre. Så han har en liste med, jeg husker ikke helt, men det var i alle fall en hel haug med diagnoser da, som oppstod på 80-tallet, så var det overvekt, og så var det diabetes, allergier, og nærmere 2000-tallet så var det en eksplosjon i autoimmunesykdommer og ADHD og autisme, sånn like før millennium der. Og nå, inn i det 2010, så var det infertilitet og kreft, ikke sant? Og nå i dette 10-året som vi lever nå, så er det også mange hormonelle forstyrrelser og mye som man kalte for gender dysregulation, altså forstyrrelser i kjønn da. Og alt dette handler jo om verden vår, kjemikalier, toksiske påvirkninger som har. Og jeg vil jo si at Natasha bekreftet mye av det også.
Ja, det var akkurat det. Jeg synes det var godt å høre at hun også var helt på samme bølgelengden, for det, it makes sense. Vi har rett og slett ødelagt jorden vår. Vi tar og tar, og nå må vi gi litt tilbake snart, for ellers så kommer det til å gå dårlig med oss.
Det som er interessant var at hun kalte dette for en slags utdannelse av immunsystemet når du normalt går gjennom infeksjoner. Mens etter andre verdenskrig så fikk vi mer og mer antibiotika, sånn at vi fikk ikke denne utdannelsen av vårt mikrobiom, og vi kunne ikke møte verden på samme måte, sånn at vi fikk utdannet tarmene våre til å håndtere sykdommer. Og det skapte da mindre harmoni, og ikke bare det. Det hun er bekymret for, det er jo en ting er at du får antibiotika hos legen, men at du til og med spiser antibiotika til frokost.
Ja, hun mente jo at vi spiste antibiotika til hvert eneste måltid, og alt, hun snakket jo om alt av ultraprosessert mat, alt inneholder jo disse glyphosate og Roundup og disse kjemikaliene som hele jorden vår er fulle av. Og jeg lurer på, så er vel egentlig ingen av oss som klarer å leve helt giftfritt, i, sånn som vi har det i disse dager. Og så snakket hun også om dette med vaksinene, når de kom inn, at vi plutselig ikke fikk barnesykdommer og sånne ting. Det samme som, ja, at vi får ikke utvikle seg sånn som vi skal. Vi driver og tuller med naturen.
Så denne GAPS-dieten da, den handler egentlig om å skape en grunnmur først og fremst for oss. Altså det som du skal bygge et hus, at du har en grunnmur som lager basis for en god helse, og at maten da er byggeblokkene. Og hun snakker også om at alle er så unike. For noen kropper trenger de å bygge på tarmbakterier, andre trenger å jobbe med traumene sine, fordi man har både traumer i livet og kanskje nedarvede traumer. Dette har vi snakket med Therese Tonning tidligere, hvor man har arvet traumene sine. Noen snakker om det å tilgi, og så er det også dette med en kjemisk renselse, å få bort amalgam og være oppmerksom på mercury.
Ja, så vi er alle forskjellige, men alle bør starte med GAPS-dietten, og så er det disse andre tingene som kommer i tillegg. Så når man har problemer, og kanskje dietten ikke funker, så er det de andre tingene. Hun er også på spiritualitet, hun er på jord, vil at vi skal være ute, være i pakt med naturen. Og så snakker hun også, som var ganske spennende, det var all denne soppen som vi faktisk har i maven, og at disse som går rundt og er syke, de føler seg rett og slett, dere trenger ikke å drikke alkohol, det synes jeg var veldig morsomt, for vi går rundt og er egentlig litt fulle hele tiden, og vi har, hele maven er full av sopp.
Ja, det var interessant det som autisme i alle fall, at de går rundt og føler seg beruset, altså det er en sånn rus, fordi at det fungerer i sunne kropper, det er 80 forskjellige av dem, de kan beskytte mot tungmetallene. Jeg ser nesten for meg at de suger til seg giftstoffene, men de elsker sukker sukker og dårlige karbohydrater og prosessert mat, og da sånn at da det skikkelig fest inn I tarmene. Og det ender med at du går rundt og raper, og du har luft I magen, du har gass I tarmene dine, så da blir man enda dårligere. Så det å starte å skrive en dagbok, for eksempel, hvis du skal gå I gang med dette, notere ned hvordan du føler når du har spist ulike matvarer, kan være en god start. Og du mente også at ikke alle skulle starte med den der introduksjonsfasen, fordi den kan være såpass tøff, du må være forberedt og klar.
Ja, det jeg veldig glad vi fikk klarert, for jeg trodde man skulle starte med den introduksjonsfasen, så der jeg misforstått litt når jeg har lest, så det var jeg glad hun klarerte, at det ikke alle som klare for at det ganske heftig, og at det en start for alle et eller annet sted I dieten, og så kan man gå frem og tilbake, og som hun sa, og det jo tilfelle, sånn som vi lever I dag, det mange som faktisk ikke kan lave mat, mange har ikke engang en stekepanne på kjøkkenet, og at de må jo begynne der.
Ja, så må du ha folk med deg på lag, mannen din, familien din, men sette grenser for kanskje bestebror som kommer med gode kaker til stadighet. Altså, der må du starte før du går I gang med den selve protokollen. Suppen, den har du lyst til å ta fatt på, den har du lagt mye av før av så det jo veldig lett å bare finne kraftkjøtt og la det koke et par timer, eller kylling eller fisk, la det koke, og så bare drikke denne kraften, og at det stor forskjell på det og kraft, at denne suppen da enda bedre for oss, så det var fint. Hun kom jo til Naturmedisinsk fagkongress I oktober, og det jo litt spennende med hennes refleksjoner rundt veganismen og vegetarisme, og hun går jo ganske kraftig ut der, og forteller hvor syk man blir hvis man lever bare på planter. Så hun sier jo rett ut, vi tar ikke noe stand her, vi bare hører hva hun sier, men dette får dere lære veldig mye om, og særlig hvis du kjenner noen som spiser våre planter, eller så du synes kanskje ikke har det helt bra, så det jo kanskje inspirerende å komme og høre på foredrag og få et større bilde. Det betyr ikke at du kanskje går den veien og endrer kostholdet litt, men kanskje du får mer kunnskap?
Ja, kunnskap, det sier vi alltid ja til, det kan vi aldri få nok av. Vi trenger å høre alle sider av en sak og passe på I våre dager at vi ikke går rett inn I en sånn tunnel og blir I den. Så vi gleder oss I hvert fall veldig til Naturmedisinsk fagkongress og se denne dama live.
Men for å oppsummere, vi liker å spise råvarebasert mat, vi liker å spise fermentert mat, og nå skal det bli mer supper på menyen. Kefir hadde jeg glemt litt ut, for det var lenge siden jeg hadde lagt kefirvann da. Vi liker kjøtt, vi liker fisk, og kanskje ørret, og vilt, og noen gode oster. Jeg liker grønnsaker også, så et variert og godt kosthold det vi setter pris på, men vi jo unike, og det må vi huske på.
Ja. Plus at vi også kan kanskje tillate oss mer enn andre, fordi vi ikke sliter med autoimmune sykdommer for øyeblikket, men vi vet jo aldri. Vi vil jo være bulletproof vi også, så vi følger med.
Så dere, til slutt her nå, så har da kongresspartner vært så greie å gi 500 kroner I rabatt hvis du skal komme på fagkongressen på Naturmedisinsk fagkongress I oktober. Så kan du bare klikke deg inn på linken her, og så skriver du bare Biohacking Girls, så får du en rabatt på 500 kroner. Da håper vi at vi ses der til høsten, og at du hadde en fin reise med Natasha og oss I denne episoden.
Det som viktig å få med at denne rabatten virker kun til torsdag.
Så løp og kjøp! Ha en herlig uke videre! Happy Biohacking! Vi minner om at dere må snakke med egen lege eller kostholdsveileder om dietter og andre spørsmål relatert til medisiner og supplementer. Informasjon med dele kan ikke bli brukt til å diagnostisere, behandle, forebygge eller kurere noen sykdommer eller tilstander.
Julas tilbud hos Spar. Julefeiringen nærmer seg med stormskritt, og nå får du hele 40% rabatt på et stort utvalg Evergood kaffe. I tillegg får du også fersk krydder av tynnribber fra Folkets, før 149, nå kun 99 kroner per kilo. Alt I tilbud på noe godt. Hilsen oss I Spar.